We'll get to that a little bit later on. We transition from the diamond to the hardwood now as we bring in Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus, down in our state capital. Dunny, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I got to listen later on for that Indians news. I haven't heard anything about the Indians and the possible Mets.
Well, apparently they're in talks about Jason Kipnis. At least that's the rumor.
Oh, I'm not sure I like that one already.
Well, you'll have to tune in later to see what Steve and I think.
I will have to tune in later,
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, the last, 3 months we've talked about pretty much nothing but football. We'll table that, and maybe at the end of this we'll talk a little bit about what Coach Meyer and the Buckeyes are doing to get ready for USC. But want to see what the Buckeye basketball team is up to, obviously under a new head coach. And so far the results really haven't been that bad. Now, Coach Holtman has actually used a number of different combinations for a starting lineup this year. I saw the number earlier. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but they played 11 games. I want to say they've used something like 8 or 9 different starting lineups so far this year. Mm-hmm. Of the ones that you've seen, do you see one that is way more effective than the rest?
Not really. I mean, he's had to do different lineups because of injury and also, you know, sending messages to some players as well. Injuries to Micah Potter as he started Caleb West in his space, in his spot. C.J. Jackson, he said he didn't sit down as he never played, but C.J. Jackson was starting the point at the beginning of the season. He was coming off the bench for a couple games just because his turnovers were getting a little bit too high, and he wanted to send a message like just saying, hey, you got to cut that out or else you won't start. But he said in the beginning of the year he would be using 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 different lineups throughout the year. Because he's still using this year right now as figuring out what he has on this team, and it's going to be a little bit more before I think you see a starting lineup that you're used to going to be used to seeing out of the Buckeyes.
And along those same lines too. Look, I mean, he's got to get his guys in here, and I mean, he's going to coach the guys he's got, no question about that. But I think it's also going to take some time for him to get his guys into this system. And that's, as you know, Dunny, that's not a quick process. That's not a one-year process. Sometimes it takes a couple of years to turn things around.
Absolutely. You know, it's a little bit easier in basketball because, you know, obviously you have a lot less players. You have 15 or so players on basketball compared to, you know, 90-some odd kids for football. So it's a little easier to get your own kids in there for basketball. But he's doing a marvelous job, I think, as far as, you know, using Kittabage Diop and Jayshon Tate to help get his message across and play his style of basketball, which is a lot different than what Thad was using the last few years.
Along those same lines, any idea where Coach Holtman is headed this week on the recruiting trail during finals week? Because a lot of times this is a week where you can get a lot of that done. You know, the college kids are taking their finals, so it's a little more hands-off on that approach, but that opens the doors for college coaches to really get out there and scout some of the high school players.
Absolutely. I know he's been up in northeastern Cleveland a lot, seeing a lot of different players up there. He's using this time to really get, you know, Ohio down pat and seeing what Ohio has to offer. I know he's talked about that before. When we were able to interview him, he said Ohio and recruiting in Ohio is the lifeblood of this program, and that is our number one priority. So, you know, he knows there's a lot of special players in Ohio, especially northeast Ohio, and he wants to keep them in-state, have them become Buckeyes, like a Kyle Young, like a Micah Potter, like a Caleb Weston.
Again, we're talking with Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Well, you mentioned this name before, but I've got to bring it back up. Kittabage Diop, named the Big Ten Player of the Week. For those who have not had the opportunity to see him play this season, what does he bring to the table?
He's probably the best basketball player they have on that team. He just brings everything. He's got a mid-range game. He can bang you down low in the post. He can spread you out and hit threes over you for days. He had a career-high 27 points against William & Mary, which you hear William & Mary, you think they're not the best team. They're a decent team. They put 114 up on Marshall a few weeks ago. So it's not like they can't spread the ball around and shoot it themselves. He's good on the defensive end. He's very long, which you can't teach. And he uses that to his advantage. As Coach Holtman said, he plays around the four spot a lot, but when they move him down to the five spot down low, he is a nightmare to cover for other big guys just because of how long and how quick he is.
How would you say they fared so far early on in the conference season? We're going to get to the overall record here in a minute and talk about where they are as a program overall. But early on in the conference, how do you think they fared so far?
Well, they've only played, you know, like everybody else in the Big Ten, they've only played two conference games, and that was a week or so ago. They went up to Madison, Wisconsin, and did the unthinkable and beat Wisconsin by 25 at Wisconsin. Well, I can't think of any time before that happened to Wisconsin, especially at their place. They were shooting lights out. They could not miss. And then they turned that around 2 days later, and they played Michigan at home, and they were down 20 in the first half. They got it to 13 at the half, and they had the momentum, and they came out, and then were on fire. They played extremely good. They pressured Michigan. Michigan couldn't hit anything because of Ohio State's defense. And Ohio State played smart basketball. They made good shots, took some extra passes, got to the line and made their free throws, and ended up winning by 9. So they're 2-0 in conference. They look pretty good against the conference, but we'll have to see once they play the heavies like Michigan State and Purdue and Northwestern and see how they do against the big names. That win against Michigan, that could go a very long way.
Sparty's a big player this year, my friend. Even early on Absolutely. In the year, I mean, the Sparty's going to be a force to be reckoned with this year. And again, we're talking with Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus. All right, at 8-3, it's a pretty respectable mark. Even though it is early on in the season, you're looking at me being just about a third of the way through the college basketball season. Do you think they're way ahead of where many thought they would be this early in the process with Coach Holtman? Because anytime a new head coach comes in, you just never know what to expect. But at 8-3, do you think they're way ahead of where a lot of people thought they would be?
To me, they're exceeding expectations. You know, it's different when a new coach comes in to a place like Ohio State. You give them a year or so usually just to kind of adapt. I think Coach Holtman's kind of through that adaptation because they played so well. And let's face it, they should be 9-2. They lost to Butler in overtime, in which they led by 15 in the second half. They should have won that game. They should have beaten Clemson. They were ahead, I think, by 15 in the first half against Clemson. So unfortunately, Clemson just came back in the second half and just you know kicked them out of their own gym. But 8-3 right now, it's a very good record. Again, they beat William and Mary. They beat Radford. It's not like they're playing, you know, some horrible teams or anything like that, but they're playing pretty decently, and they've got some good tests with Gonzaga, with Stanford, with Butler, and they'll get another decent test on Saturday against Appalachian State.
All right, Dunny, well, we turn our attention now to the football field as we get closer and closer to the Cotton Bowl. Correct me if I'm wrong, my friend, but we are still a couple of weeks away from the Cotton Bowl itself. Any updates on the Buckeyes and their preparation for USC in the aforementioned Cotton Bowl?
Well, we know that they're practicing off and on until the 19th, and the 19th until the 23rd will be their kind of holiday break, and we know that they'll be traveling down to Dallas around on the 23rd of December when and we'll see them down in Dallas when we'll have our live coverage starting on the 23rd on that Saturday with the team arriving and everything like that. From now until then, it's just all eyes on USC and preparing for the bowl game. And it's really good. The bowl practices, you got at least 15 extra practices, and they're really, really good for the young kids, for the freshmen and maybe redshirt freshmen and sophomores to kind of get some more reps underneath their belt to get going for when spring ball comes up next year. They're ready and rearing to go. You know, they don't have this kind of lull period in between. They're able to use these 15 practices to kind of keep their legs moving and keep going into the spring.
There is also no lull period when our good buddy Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV joins us every single Thursday. Dunny, a pleasure as always, my friend. We appreciate the time, and we'll do it again next Thursday.
Yes, Talk to you guys later.
All righty. Sean Donegan, WBNS-TV in Columbus, giving us the Buckeye update to see what the Buckeyes are doing on the hardwood and on the football field as well.